Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Sangage, Book, Chicago, Film. We have real hang-ups in this country about how we should and we shouldn't pronounce words. But is there a right or a wrong way? To talk more about this, I'm joined in the studio by Sinead Ní Uachtarán from Raidió na Gaeltachta, who's co-host of Beo Ar Éigean podcast, and on the line by author and comedian Colm O'Regan and Emeritus Professor of Sociolinguistics at UCD, Vera Regan. You're all very welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is such an interesting topic. Vera, the best place to start, maybe, is one of those words that I mentioned there. One of the most mispronounced words, film. Why?
Yes, Claire. And it's one of those words that people get very excited about. First of all, we have to realize that it's not at all unusual that there are two ways of saying the same thing in all languages. It's part of what's called the inherent variability of language. So I might say film and you might say film, and both of us are saying something which is meaningful and the person listening to us knows what we're talking about. So there's no big deal, number one. Now, what happens there is that it's probably due to the effect of what we call language contact. In this case, Irish phonology. So we know ourselves that Irish has affected the way we speak English in Irish, and that's what results in what we call Irish English. Now, in Irish, certain combinations of consonants can't be said without inserting a little vowel in the middle. So this is called an epenthetic vowel, and it's like an ö sound. So we can't pronounce something like consonant plus M and R. So instead of saying film, that's difficult and not native to Irish phonology. So we stick in, instead of the L and M together, we make a little hole in the middle and we stick in U. So you get film.
So it's easier. It's easier for us to say. And Sinead, there are examples of this in Irish as well.
Absolutely. So the Irish word for dog is
madra.
But what I would say is madara. So madra. So you're adding in a gota cunta, as we call it in Irish. So a vowel there to help you out in between the D and the R.
Okay, so it's not just a translation issue. This exists in the Irish language.
Shanavan instead of Shanvan, just to help you along. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it helps with the rolling of the Irish language as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And with the lyricism of it.
That's it, and with the rhythm. And you might find that you'll hear this in songs as well, I suppose, to help out with the rhythm as well. Other examples, furavore. Fervor is how it's spelt, but if you'd say it, you'd say fervor. Now, this is in certain areas in Ireland, certain dialects.
It sounds nicer.
You're adding to it.
And just on the sounding nicer column, does this stuff bother you, people who mispronounce things or have their own little way of saying things?
Well, you've come to me at a time of great personal growth, Claire, because I have come through the stage of it bothering me.
Oh, good.
Now, I'm quite proud of myself. This used to be a bugbear of mine. I think maybe I just mellowed, and I used to get cross, particularly with Chicago. I'd be looking at it going, it's three syllables. It's cargo. Like, where is the R coming from? Larger. Darlecs. People say it's a Daleks. And I used to get cross about it, but I realized that actually mispronunciation is more interesting. So you have to have your standards somewhere written down, you know, your dictionary and all that. But mispronunciation is actually more interesting because of what it betrays underneath, like the language, you know, the native language that what your other speakers are talking about there. And apparently in Chicago, they also say it in Newfoundland, because the word Chicago is a Native American word. And when it would have been said by people who had a different language, the vowel might have been unfamiliar. So yeah. When you say Chicago, you're not getting it wrong. You are in coding history. That's what I do now.
I'm really pleased that this doesn't bother you anymore. But if I said to you, well, after the show now, I think I might go to Aldi's or Tesco's, how would you feel?
Sorry, did somebody send you on my triggers? Yeah, this is one that I just don't understand. I kind of get it, but the funniest thing for me is Eason's. It's where they, I didn't realize it was Eason until I had to say it. I hand them an award at an award ceremony. I kept on saying Eason. So we all do it. But yeah, the Lidl's, the Tesco's, it's that S. I think it's almost like we're saying, were going to Johnny Aldi's to pick up stuff from harking back to when these were individual shops,
Murphy's,
owned by people. Getting names wrong though, I always think there's no excuse for that. That's something we have to make an effort at.
Yeah, I've been sent one here, Vera, by a listener who says Irish people constantly pronounce height as though the word ends with a TH. Height.
Yeah, that could be, I mean, off the top of my head, to me it sounds like a bit of a hyper-correction. If we want to speak properly, we think in English we must do an interdental. So we do, instead of saying height, we say height. Why? Because we in Irish tend to do a plosive. So we say instead of the person is thin, we say the person is tin. Actually, we really don't say the person is tin. We say something in between, but we've been characterised by usually British listeners as saying tin for thin, mainly because the Shakespeareans started doing it in the Tudor days. They wanted to represent Irish people on stage. So a quick and nasty way was to put saffron-coloured clothes on them, to put a particular type of shoe and a particular number of restricted sounds. So there you have your instant Irish man. And those habits of seeing the way Irish people speak came down through the generations. So they got kind of fixed. And so those sounds became associated with particular groups of people, as if there was some sort of natural intrinsic link between some sort of rather hilarious character on the stage. And at that stage, I think maybe when Colm is saying he was uncomfortable with the sounds earlier, I think we're all a little bit uncomfortable because we really want to put a good distance between us and the people who are stereotyped. And people tend to either converge or diverge from other people to show who they are. And that's it. It's all issues of identity. And it's not something that we're kind of victims of. We're actually got agency ourselves. We choose. We decide, okay, well, we're from the East Coast in Ireland. We don't particularly want to be associated with some other group in the country or some other age group. So we can put it like a distance by pronouncing something differently. And this can be actually conscious or unconscious. Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be conscious.
One of Sinead's favourite examples of somebody struggling with a name, let's say, is from the late, great Weeshie Fogarty on Radio Kerry. Let's have a listen.
Tanya's waiting for your call. David is on sound tonight. David is filling in for Sinead. As you know, Sinead is our sound woman here on Terrace Talk, but she's gone to hear Beyonce. Can't even get Beyonce. I'm relying. They're shouting into my ear here. Beyonce.
Now, it took me about 5 years to figure out how to say Beyonce. So yeah. I have no problem with Weeshie struggling with that, Sinead.
No problem. I had no problem either. And it's one of those videos that I turn on. I put it on YouTube when I'm feeling a little bit low because it makes me so happy. But there is this kind of...
Nicki Minaj is my one. I didn't dare say Nicki Minaj for about 10 years because I did not know how to say it.
Yeah.
I just had to wait till somebody said it to me.
Another one, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
I didn't have a clue how to say her name back in the day when she first arrived on the scene.
Hermione.
Now, this is one. So Harry Potter. And I think we all tend to do this when we're reading. When you're reading, you're in the flow of it and you want to get to the bottom of the page and you might come across a name or you might come across a word that you're not too sure how to pronounce. But you make it up in your head. And for ages, I had no idea. And I don't think I even know now in the year 2022 how Emma Watson's character's name is pronounced in Harry Potter. Because when you're reading it, it was like, her mama mime. Yeah, I'll just skip over that.
Exactly. It becomes silent in your mind almost, doesn't it? Or else, as you say, you make up something for it. Oh, my goodness, we're getting swamped here. Please stop pronouncing the H in Thomas, Thailand and the Thames River. Again, this might be over correction, Colm, would you say? Thailand.
I think so. My favourite example of this is where there's a temptation to overcorrect, then an undercorrect. So you end up with a word like throat for the thing between your head and the rest of your body. And it is interesting. The hang-ups, I always find it interesting. And sometimes it's unthinking as well too. I love that we have dissolved the P in salpidine to sulfidine, as
yes,
if like it's actually dissolved in water. and it might be like a salpidine is actually easier to say than sulfadine.
How did
but maybe
that
we're thinking of thinking of Sophia or thinking of, I think there's a sulfadermal. So it's very. I find it very interesting because to explore why it's happening. I'd love to know why we put tea on the end of cousin for cousin't, or ask for. I don't even know if you still can ask for 20 Marlboroughs in a shop. My favorite though is actually the I love listening to very polished RTE presenters. In one word, betray the fact that they're cultures at heart, because I can name a couple of people who I won't, who will say only and Gargan. So they might be thinking only.
I must be.
Only the Gargan have reported it, and it's been tremendous response to that. And I'm sure that that kind of J instead of D has some interesting origins as well, too.
Vera, any suggestions as to where that might have emerged from or any of those examples?
Well, it's usually a matter of a couple of different reasons. We tend to say that language phenomena come from one particular explanation. So in Ireland, we're always rushing to say, oh, it's the effect of Irish. But actually, it can be for any number of reasons. Sometimes it can be historical development. We know that film actually existed in English, on English ground in Shakespeare's time. And there's we've almost proof of that in Romeo and Juliet when they talk about a film. And this meant a thin thread. So it's very possible that we have what's called an enclave situation where we in Ireland continue to use the word film, whereas the English in England tended to veer off in another direction. And very often that happens. It happened in French Canada, where the people in Canada think the French speak bad French. And the French, of course, in France think they speak bad French. And it was affected by American. In fact, what happened was the French Canadians continued to speak 17th century French that they brought over with them from Laval, places like Normandy and Brittany, and they've developed on their merry way in France, changed stuff, and the other guys in Canada retained what was going on. So that's what's called an enclave situation. They weren't affected. They didn't have contact with the mainland.
We cannot keep up with the examples that are coming in. What about modern for modern? What gets me going, says this listener, is birthday. Instead of birthday, there's a D in it, folks. Actually, one's just come to mind for me now, Sinead. People who say police instead of police.
Police, yeah. But there is this anxiety about being correct, isn't there? I had that.
What does it matter?
Well, it can eat away at you. I remember when I started working in RNG, I was the station scheduler and I used to say schedule. So I used to say schedule the whole time. And then everyone who was working around me used to say schedule. So I changed the way I said the word to fit in. And now looking back, I think, why did I do that? Because for me, it represents dialect, and dialect represents a lot more than just how you say something. It represents where you're from, who you love, who has impacted your life. It's much more than just how you say a word. So if I could go back all those years.
I know some people in certain parts of the country will say crips instead of crisps. I always thought that was a mispronunciation, but I actually think now that it is just part of a dialect in the same way as hospital might be. I think that comes from the Irish anyway. Ospidale, hospital. And I've heard that local to me in Laois that people would say that. So maybe, Vera, you know, if we correct all of these perceived mistakes, perhaps we're losing something.
Well, the hospital is what you'll hear kids saying it, or a lot of people say metathesis. That's a metathesis where you reverse the sounds. Now, that's not something that's particular to Irish English. People do that in languages all over the world. They also do the epenthesis. They stick in the little E, like Spain and Spanish, because they don't have the particular combination. Now, there is certainly what's going on on here is a kind of dialect levelling, so that a lot of those quirky things will be ironed out due to travel, due to the media, due to technology. But it's very unlikely, Claire, that you'll be disappointed and that you'll find everything sort of grey and neutral, because language just isn't like that. People make differences all the time. It's just so basic. And I think one of the things that Sinead was referring to there is really important. It's an identity thing. The reason we're bothered is because language is so fundamentally a part of who we are, our identity, where we fit in the world, who we want to be like, who we admire, who we want to have conflict with, who we don't want to have conflict with. So it's not just something very trivial that we're chatting here and enjoying chatting about in the morning. It actually reaches its roots into something deeply, deeply human. And it's to do with us as human beings and our relations with other people.
It's fascinating. And this one, Colm, this is a test for you now as well. Your irritation levels I'm testing. Rose says, I pronounce tongue as thong. And my husband says it's a Cork thing. It's not a Cork thing, because somebody in my house does it too, and there ain't nobody from Cork in my house. So it's not just a Cork thing. Does that bother you, Colm?
Thong. I mean, there's a reaction on the tip of my tongue to that, but I'm not going to let it out. But I think it's interesting what you're talking about. Like over time, how things have changed. Like we actually have loads of words that we take for granted that were at some point somebody switching them around. Like we said three, but we have third, and that at some point the R's switched around. So who knows in future whether we'll actually all be saying, chimley and crips and chapelet, because that, it just has become so common. I think at some point you'll see like really expensive crips being sold in hipster places for kind of authenticity. And then eventually in 100 years time, we'll have forgotten crisps.
So yes, we'll all be eating crisps,
The language, who knows where it'll end up. So I just say write down whatever we have at the moment in case it gets forgotten.
Well, look,
it's Chicago.
It's such a great chat, and thank you so much, all of you. It's so interesting. Colm O'Regan, who's an author and comedian. Colm's performing at the Seen and Heard Festival alongside a number of others at Dublin Smock Alley Theatre in February, not February, as somebody has been in touch to warn me about. Sinead Nialacón from Radio na Gaeltachta and Vera Regan from UCD. Thank you all very much indeed. Let's take a break.